Right now, they'll make us smile, and that is David and Marcy from the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're having a little computer problem. David's laptop isn't working.
See, this is the problem with putting everything on computer, but never mind that I said that. Did at least the newsletter go out? Did you get MailChimp under control? Did you get your chimp under control?
No, it's very annoying.
That's right. Because it's something you pay for.
The newsletter has been fixed, I think. Let me just look at 5 a.m.
Hopefully.
Newsletter went out. So that's good.
All right. Well, I know we'll get David his computer straightened out. If not, I know we'll hear a smashing sound in the background.
No. I hope not.
All right. Let's get right to our first story.
So this is
the minute I started reading about this, before I got that midway down the paragraph.
What are you talking about?
There he is.
W.E.B. Du Bois, once again, about how important W.E.B. Du Bois is in the history of Great Barrington, and yet, once again, controversy.
Yeah, right. Well, it seems that the library committee now has to approve, and I mean, there is a couple in town named Danny Klein and his wife, Freke Juice. I'm never sure if I'm her. It's a Dutch name. I'm never sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But anyway, they have proposed to commission an artist to build a statue of W.E.B. Du Bois and put it in front of the Mason Library in Great Barrington.
He's sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
Reading a book.
Right.
That is the sculpture. In fact, they had a model of it, or at least a rendering of what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, W.E.B. Du Bois is one of the most famous civil rights writers who grew up in Great Barrington, went to Harvard, first African-American to go to Harvard, and it's been quite, you know, was quite prolific in his writings about civil rights and the plight of African Americans early in the 20th century. So, anyways, he's he's one of the best known writers, and in fact, thinkers that has come out of Great Barrington, and it's been a fight to get anyone to actually acknowledge him, ever since.
So now, there is a historic district commission that needs to approve it, and they declined to take any action at a public hearing last week. The couple, Danny and Freke, had thought that it had been approved, but apparently it wasn't. You know, it was an advisory opinion, but not necessarily a formal opinion. So. So now, you know, the couple, Klein and Juist, are, as we say, caught between a rock and a hard place because it's difficult to raise money for the project if they can't tell donors exactly where the statue will be located. But the Historic District Commission doesn't want to endorse the project unless a decision has been made on where to put the statue. And apparently that decision has to be made by the Great Barrington Library. And that, and the library hasn't made a decision. So,
this isn't the first time that the town has disputed, fought over the Du Bois name. There was a proposal when the new elementary school was built some 20 years ago to name one of the elementary school, after him, and some of the townspeople objected. So it was named the elementary school was named Muddy Brook.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I'm not making fun of it, but there you go.
Here's the interesting thing, or the ironic thing, is that what gets people's goat is that when late in Du Bois's life, he was so disgusted with the race relations in
the U.S.
in the U.S. and so frustrated by it that he left and he joined the Communist Party.
And he moved to North Africa.
And moved to Africa. This was at the very end of his long life, mm-hmm. And he's always ever since he's been criticized for having joined the Communist Party. Of course, right now we have a president who is in love with the Russian president Vladimir Putin.
But they're no longer communists.
Well, yes, they are. And so you know, it's sort of ironic that. You know, people are still on Du Bois's case because of that.
But nationally, when you extrapolate what you're going through in Great Barrington nationally, just look at Bernie Sanders. These people take the word socialism or social, and they immediately change it to communism.
Yeah,
and that is unfortunately for us, there's 35 to 37% people in this country that believe all of this stuff. And the amazing part is that as amazed as we are that there's people that still believe in this stuff and follow this stuff regardless, what amazes I think us even more is that the people in that 35 to 36% are equally amazed at everything else that's been going on, including the Obama presidency, for the past 10, 12 years. You know, and it's a nationwide culture, and I don't know how we will finally break it.
Well, people need to learn.
I think my opinion is that the country when Obama was elected president, the country had a collective nervous breakdown. That's what happened, and we're paying for it ever since.
No, I think you're right. They did galvanize that 35 to 37%.
Yeah, right.
They needed somebody to galvanize them. There were people around the country that tried, and all of a sudden you have a national figure that did galvanize them. And you know what? You can't marginalize that. That's a big block of people. You can't marginalize
it.
Sooner,
no, you can't.
Sooner or later.
You know, we have to recognize that this is a big block of people who, for one reason or another, are terrified.
Yeah.
And they think somebody's going to come along and save them, or they will be saved if they manage to marginalize the people who are frightening them.
Yeah. So it's a national thing.
Because we have comments. You know, I mean, the comments that we've gotten on this, you know, we got somebody who said, well, Mr. Du Bois certainly helped some people. In the end, Mr. Du Bois was closest to communism. Perhaps the statue can be located on a communist site. And somebody writes back, like a library. And then somebody else says, stop the madness. No Du Bois. No statue in our town. Also, clean up the meeting room and remove that offending picture of Du Bois. So
that goes that goes to the root of what's right. going to stay around. Well, let's move on because it's a much better story in the next story, and that is of the local playwright and actress who's written a pretty cool play that's being produced by Wham.
Yes, this is a terrific play. This is a play about. It's called Lady Randy, and it's the story of Jenny Jerome, who married Randolph Churchill and was Winston Churchill's mother.
Right.
But she was also quite an interesting woman. She was an American, a wealthy American, and her relationship with Randolph Churchill was very unsatisfying because he developed syphilis, I think, and very soon after their marriage, they no longer had any intimacy, and so she was known for her affairs with the Prince of Wales, among others. And this play has been developed locally. That's why everybody is so interested in it. Now, I happen to be on the board of something called the Berkshire Playwrights Lab, which I've talked about before, which is in the business of developing new plays. And this is a play that was developed at the Berkshire Playwrights Lab. We had two or three staged readings of this play. It's really it's a two-person play, although there are many characters. But Anne Underland, who is the author of the play, plays Lady Randy. She plays Jenny Jerome. And then there is a male actor who plays all the other male roles. And it's terrifically witty. It's interesting historically. It's very witty. The dialogue is terrific. The two actors. Anne is wonderful as Jenny. And the other man plays her father and her husband and her lover. And I don't know who's playing the male in this particular production. But it's also being directed by Jim Frangione, who was, until recently, one of the artistic directors of the Berkshire Playwrights Lab and has really shepherded this play through its development. So this is a terrific play, and now, you know, Berkshire Playwrights Lab has gone as far with it as it's able, and Wham Theater, which is particularly interested in women, has picked it up and is doing a full production of it, and it's really, and it's at Shakespeare and Company, and it's a terrific play. So I highly encourage you. If I don't sound enthusiastic, I can continue.
I guess you recommend it.
I recommend it. The first time I saw it, you know, I saw one scene originally, and then we did a whole reading, and then we did a second reading. And at every stage, it got better and better.
All right.
So I do recommend it.
Okay. I was going on to the next story, and if it's Wednesday morning, we have to talk a little bit about marijuana in Berkshire County.
Well, you know, high times in Great Barrington, you know.
That's exactly right.
Oh, dear. Well, yes. We have so many pot shops now in Great Barrington, and one of them is Theory Wellness, and they're proposing to an interesting approach, which is kind of using a social justice approach to the cannabis marketers. It's really interesting, isn't it, that they're now going to help people of that would otherwise not be able to get licenses to be able to get a license to sell marijuana. And you know, it's really odd that now we have a dealer helping other dealers, you might say.
Well, you know what it looks like to me, and I know it sounds far fetched, but it shouldn't be. I think Theory Wellness, because they've been in the medical marijuana business, they're pretty well established. And like when I went there and I got the tour, I was amazed. It was more like going to like a McDonald's or a Burger King or something, mm-hmm. with all their beautiful colored menus and telling you, you've got this to sleep, this to be awake, this. It's all very, very well done. And it's almost like if they mentor people in the program, maybe down the road, Theory Wellness will have different shops. You know what I mean? It's almost like they're mentoring people to get into it, and that will benefit them in the long run.
Well, this is the creation of a huge empire.
Yeah, because they're well run.
The thing is that, you know, when the state passed legalization of marijuana, it set up something called the Cannabis Control Commission. And part of among the guidelines set up by the Cannabis Control Commission was a social equity program, which had as its goal to ensure that people from communities that have been disproportionately harmed by marijuana law enforcement are included in the new legal marijuana industry. So in other words, you know, mainly black people who have been arrested more than white people for having marijuana. So So what theory wellness is trying to do is make it possible for people, for, you know, to economically empower entrepreneurs, especially, you know, people from minority communities who've been discriminated against, to make it possible for them to have access to capital and to open their own dispensary. So it's not just anybody. I mean, they are particularly interested in making sure that minority members of the minority community have access to this industry. Now, they are not proposing to take any equity stake, or to require any applicant to, you know, to sign them up as, you know, either the manager or the purchasing agent.
I understand that, but I think, you know, it sets up the guidelines pretty well that if they're successful in mentoring some people in the business, that the next step would be, okay, we can take our model and expand it beyond Great Barrington.
Right, right. Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you one thing. I'm amazed at how far in advance and set up they are at Theory Wellness. It really is pretty amazing. I mean, people now from Connecticut and New York openly post online about when they're there and when they're coming back. I mean, it has it's become almost like,
right? Really?
It's almost like going to I'm going to Great Barrington to go to Staples or to whatever. But no, I'm going to Theory Wellness. Hey, I'm at Theory Wellness. Hey, I'm going
on their Facebook page.
Yeah, I've said Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's amazing. So Theory Wellness, in theory, is really got a leg up in this game.
They're making money hand over fist.
I don't doubt it at all. You're absolutely right.
And you know, the other thing, of course, is that they are also supplying the town with a cut of the proceeds.
A brand new revenue stream. You're absolutely right.
New revenue stream, which now means that the town is dependent.
You got it. It's a vicious circle, but it is what it is. But now, what's this knocking at the door here? I love this about the area you cover. Once again, how about recommending that there be a brand new school?
Talking about. I feel like we're in a house of mirrors here. This is Alice in Wonderland. So the former chairman of the town finance committee, Sharon Gregory, is writing us a series of pieces about how the town we do need a new high school or a renovated high school. Anyways, we need to do something with the high school. I mean, this is the last thing I would have ever imagined her to come out in
because
favor
of. She was opposed to the renovation of the high school.
But now we have her coming out with a series of articles saying that she's recommending this. And it is an interesting, this topic of education, which we'll return to, no doubt, in coming weeks many times. Is what to do with as Robert Frost would say, what to do with a diminished thing, which is the fewer students because of the aging population here in the Berkshires. So we don't have the robust student population that we once had and that led to the creation of school districts depending on that student population. So... it'll be interesting. So she's proposing, actually, that the Southern Berkshire District, the one that that borders Connecticut, be combined with the Berkshire Hills, in Great Barrington and Stockbridge and West Stockbridge.
It's interesting to hear, and the reason it's interesting to people in Connecticut is the state of Connecticut now, the legislature is thinking about, we've got the first regional school district is Region 1 in the state, first one ever created, okay? As a matter of fact, I think in the Northeast, when Region 1. So all the other school districts in Connecticut, the special law was formed, were formed after that law. Now the state is thinking about taking Region 1, all the regional school districts, and including other districts in it to make one big district. Mm-hmm. I can tell you it's not going to happen.
Well, we had the same proposal here. You know, we had a a self-appointed educational commission, although it was, the participants were quite knowledgeable. But they came out last June, I think, within the last year, with a recommendation to combine all the school districts in Berkshire County, and that went nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, that was the Berkshire County Educational Task Force.
Yeah.
They've been looking at this as from a global county perspective.
And, I listened to their arguments, and they were very good arguments, you know, in terms of how to make sure that resources continue to be there for local students. But on the other hand, you know, you've got people who don't want their kids bused. Nobody in the South County wants to have their kids going to school in North County. So, you know, it's a geographical thing. And also there are sort of traditional loyalties. You know, the high schools played each other competitively in sports, and nobody wants that to disappear.
And there's a thing called home rule.
It's
an old term, but boy, does it apply to school districts.
Right. But this continues to be a very volatile subject. I mean, and really, Sharon Gregory, again, who, you know, as everybody remembers, you know, we had this big fight about 4 years ago about whether to accept the $30 million from the state to rebuild the high schools, and it was voted down, and she was participating. And now, or she was in favor of voting it down, and now suddenly she's in favor of it's interesting. I mean, I think this is more than a local issue. I mean, I know it sounds like it's very local, and why should anybody else?
It's not. Yeah, I call all these things canaries in the coal mine because they tend to tell you which direction things are going in, or have to go in, or might go in anyway. We only have about 30 seconds left, but
I want to I know we have a couple of interesting stories, but I want to call people's attention to the fact that next week, the weekend of May 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, there is a big arts festival going on in Great Barrington. And one of the stories we have is a youth poetry slam that's going on. But there are also at St. James Place, if people would look, at stjamesplace.net, not com. There's another stjamesplace.com, and it's somewhere in Georgia. But to look at the schedule of these, there's some interesting new plays. There's a poetry slam. There's a lot of stuff going on in the arts in Great Barrington next weekend.
All right. And you can find out about it at theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com. Guys, yes, we'll speak to you next week.
And you can look on the Berkshire Edge for information also about these events. So,
all right, we will check with you guys again next week.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Bye.
That is this week in the Berkshire Edge on air.